light of guidance, the light of guidance. The light of guidance, the light of guidance. The light of guidance, the light of guidance.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله The Prophet of mankind, the peace of our hearts and mind, the most generous and kind Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is very beautifully reported to have said, the one who recites durood, salutations, salawat, salam 50 times upon me daily, I will shake hands with him on the day of judgment. Subhanallah. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Salatu wa salaman alayka ya sayyidi ya habibi ya Rasulullah. Salatu wa salaman alayka ya sayyidi ya habibi ya Nurullah. Marhaba, marhaba, marhaba. Khushamdeed, welcome to one and all to a beautiful episode once again on this series, The Light of Guidance. And Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, this is your series, your episode, your program, The Light of Guidance. And as you know, in this program, we try and discuss some beautiful topics which are pertaining to our day-to-day lives and something relevant to the time, today's time, and something relevant for our youngsters as well. Alhamdulillah, today we are going to be discussing the salah, the ibadat of salah, but we're going to be discussing it from a different angle. And that will be, inshallah, azawajal, etiquettes of salah, but the internal and external etiquettes of salah. You know, the what is salah basically externally, and what is salah internally, how to perform salah. As Muslims, alhamdulillah, it is compulsory and necessary upon all of us. It is important that every person needs to perform the salah, and it is part of our day-to-day routine, our daily life. There is no excuse. So we should know where we know the laws of salah, where we know the ahkam of salah, where we know the jais, najais, permissible, impermissible of salah. There we should also know what are the etiquettes and the manners, the adab of performing salah, inshallah azza wa jal. So it will be a very beautiful, fruitful discussion. I request everyone to be with us, inshallah, for the entire discussion. And inshallah azza wa jal, we hope that whatever we learn, we should make good intentions. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated, Niyatul mu'mini khayrun min amalihi. The intention of a believer is better than his action. The more good intentions you make, the more reward you will definitely attain from the court of Allah. So be with us, inshallah, for the entire discussion. And today I am not alone. I have with me our special guest after quite some time. He is with us on Madani channel. That is our beloved Mulana Asim Madani Sahab Munasab. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you, Munasab? How is your health?
Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal. Shukr to Almighty.
MashaAllah. Munasab is with us today after a long break, and inshallah, we hope that Munasab will give us his beautiful words of wisdom in today's discussion. And inshallah, Azza wa Jal, we all will benefit. I will benefit. You will benefit. And we should benefit. In fact, whenever we are listening to something important, especially something which is Islamic, whether it's a lecture or whether it's a dars, or whether it's a few words of wisdom, we should always try and derive and take a lesson from it and instill it in our hearts, our lives, our minds. And then inshallah, we'll try and act upon it and pass the message also on to others as well. So this is actually something which we should do. So wherever you are and whenever you go to the masjid the next time to listen to a lecture, then keep this mindset. I must take a message and try and act upon it. Inshallah, inshallah, inshallah. Before we take our break, I will begin today's discussion with regards to salah and the adab and the etiquettes of salah. And for that, I would like to come towards our guest, Mulana Asim Madani Sahab. Mulana Sahab, today we are discussing this ibadat, which is salah, very necessary and compulsory ibadat, which has been ordained from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we do know that, yes, there are etiquettes, there are adab, there are manners in which a person needs to perform salah. In fact, any ibadat which a person does, he has to have some manners and some etiquettes to perform that ibadat. Munasab, do you feel that if a person does not have the true etiquettes, whether it is externally or internally, of how to perform salah, or that adab are not found within a person, do you feel he will lose the essence of this great ibadat in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidil mursaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'a'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Definitely, he will not be able to achieve what he wants to achieve if he doesn't perform that ibadat or any ibadat, if he doesn't perform salah with its manners and etiquettes. Quran says, Inna salata tanha anil fahsha wal munkar. Salah protects you from evil and bad things. That is the ayat of the Holy Quran. Almighty Allah is the one who has said that. That salah protects a person from evil. But why our salah doesn't protect us from evil? Why majority of the Muslims, they perform salah, but at the same time they lie, they are liars. At the same time they deceive other Muslim brothers, they backbite, they are involved in a lot of wrongdoings, they steal, they do bribe, they do the businesses with interest, riba, and a lot of other wrongdoings, but at the same time they perform salah as well. So what's the reason that their salah does not protect them from evil, bad manners? The reason behind that is that there are a lot of shortcomings in our salah.
Right.
We don't perform salah with it, with its etiquettes and manners. Obviously, you know, when a person goes to meet a well-known person, a big personality, he takes care of the manners of meeting. He takes care of the manners of the house of that personality, greeting to that personality. So when a person stands in the bargah of Almighty Allah, and if he doesn't take care of these manners and etiquettes, then how his salah will protect him from evil? Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in one hadith e pak, when you worship Almighty Allah, worship while thinking that you are watching Almighty Allah. And if you can't think that, then at least you should think that Almighty Allah is watching you. That should be the state of a person when he stands in the bargah of Almighty Allah. If a person thinks that his Allah is watching him, then he will not lose his concentration while performing salah. Salah is the pillar of Islam. Salah is the basic fundamental pillar of Islam. Salah is one of the basic pillars of Islam. Himaduddin, pillar of Islam. On the day of judgment, the very first question which will be asked from a person will be about salah. So salah is the greatest ibadat. A person, you know, becomes very close to Almighty Allah when he stands in the bargah of Almighty Allah, when he prostrates, when he performs sajda. He humbles himself, he surrenders himself when he prostrates in the bargah of Almighty Allah. So there are manners and etiquettes which a person should take care of before he starts his salah and while performing salah as well. You know, I was just reading great value of Almighty Allah. Someone asked him that, how do you perform salah? How do you stand in the bargah of Almighty Allah? He said that when I intend to perform salah, I make a complete wudu, kamil wudu. Our wudu is not kamil. There are many, you know, sunnahs and mustahabbat in wudu. We don't take care of that.
Right.
In fact, many people's wudu is not right. They don't even perform the faraid of wudu completely.
Right.
Leave alone the sunnahs and mustahabba.
So
if a person's wudu is not complete, his salah is not going to be valid. When I say his wudu is not complete, I mean that when he doesn't take care of the faraid.
Right.
He didn't wash his face properly, his arms properly, his feet properly. Then his wudu is not done.
Jee.
If his wudu is not done, then his salah is not going to be valid. And if his salah is not valid, how his salah is going to protect him from evil and bad manners? So there are sunnahs of wudu, there are mustahabbat in wudu. If when a person makes wudu, he should take care of all this. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to read certain du'as while making wudu. Du'a is the acid of ibadat. When a person makes du'a in the bargah of Almighty Allah, in other words, he surrenders, he humbles himself. He becomes a beggar in the bargah of Almighty Allah. So when a person makes wudu like that, at the same time he takes care of all the sunnahs. When he washes his hands, he takes care of sunnahs of washing hands. He takes care of the mustahabbat as well. Then his wudu is kamil. And when a person makes kamil wudu and then performs salah, and after getting a complete tahara, then he stands in the bargah of Almighty Allah, obviously, he will get khushu and khudu yumlati in his salah.
He
will enjoy his salah.
Subhanallah.
Ate Khatim Asam rahmatullahi ta'ala said that when I intend to perform salah, I make complete and kamil wudu first. And after making wudu, I don't start my salah immediately after that. What do? I sit down to calm my body. After you make wudu and you go to the masjid or you go to the masalla, and you walk and go. So we need to calm our body before we start our salah.
Yes.
He said that I sit down for a while. And when I stand up, before I say Allahu Akbar, before I recite this takbir Allahu Akbar, I stand in the bargah of Almighty Allah while considering that Kaabatullah is in front of me. Jannat is on my right side.
Allah.
Jahannam is on my left side.
Allah, Allah.
The angel of death is standing behind me. And the bridge of Sirat is beneath my feet.
Subhanallah, Subhanallah.
After considering this and thinking all that, then I say Allahu Akbar. Then I, recite the Holy Quran as much as possible for me. I recite slowly, softly, with the rules of tajweed and tarteel. Then when I perform ruku, I perform kamil ruku with satisfaction, with calmness. When I perform sajda, I perform with calmness. When I stand up from ruku, when I sit up from sajda, I perform qama and jalsa as well with satisfaction and calmness. And after doing all that, I'm in between the hope and the fear of Almighty. I fear that whether my salah is going to be accepted or going to be rejected. At the same time, I hope that Almighty Allah will accept my salah. Do we perform salah like that?
Allah, 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 Allah.
These are the manners and the etiquettes of salah. That's what Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that when you stand in the bargah of Almighty Allah, consider yourself, consider and think that you are watching Almighty Allah. Almighty Allah, you are watching Almighty Allah, and if you can't think like that, then at least you must think that Almighty Allah is watching you.
Subhanallah.
So tell me, if a person, takes care of all these etiquettes and manners, will his salah not protect him from evil? Definitely his salah is going to protect him from evil. So, a lot of people, they complain, Mulana, I am a punctual musalli. I perform my each and every salah in the masjid, in the house of Almighty Allah, behind the imam, every day. But I can't protect myself from sins, from committing sins, from disobeying Almighty Allah. Now, I think you got the answer of this question.
Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Jazakallah, Mullah Sahib, beautiful words and a very beautiful hadith Mullah Sahib has kept in front of us. A part of the hadith, I would say, when Sayyidina Jibreel Islam asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what is Ihsan? And in reply, he said that Ihsan is أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك. That you should worship Allah Ta'ala as if you are seeing Him. And if you cannot reach that level, you cannot do that, then you must know that He is definitely seeing you. And this is the base of taqwa, of piety, of Sufism. This is the base that a person performs the ibadat in such a way that he has this conscious in his mind that Allah Ta'ala is watching me. I am in the court of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And when a person has that properly, then his salah is, as Mawlana Sahib mentions, every aspect of the salah is done completely and it is done 100% with utmost humility, with the humbleness, with proper, out of piety and with the proper jazba and enthusiasm of performing ibadat only for the sake of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Subhanallah, we make dua that we are included amongst those people who perform the ibadat in such a way. Inshallah, we will quickly take a short break and listen to a beautiful kalam. And the discussion is very beautiful. And as soon as we return, we will carry on our discussion regarding the external and internal adab and etiquettes of performing salah. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Na koi aap jaisa tha, na koi aap jaisa hai. Koi Yusuf se poochhe Mustafa ka husn kaisa hai. Ae jalwa-e jaanana, ae jalwa-e jaanana. Aqa, tu shama-e risalat hai. Kausar ke chehre se niqab uthe jo saqi e kausar ke chehre se niqab uthe har dil ban main khana har aankh ho paimana sange dar jana na aqa tu shama-e risalat hai alam tera parwana parwana tu maah-e nubuwat hai ae jalwa-e jana na ae jal janana ae jalwa-e janana.
صلی علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالیٰ علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالیٰ علیہ وسلم صلاۃ و سلام علیک یا سیدی یا حبیبی یا رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علی محمد النور من نور اللہ. ماشاء اللہ, مرحبا, ویلکم بیک ٹو آور سلسلہ. ویری بیوٹیفل کلام وی ہیو جسٹ لسن ٹو, اینڈ وی میک دعا, مے اللہ سبحانہ تعالیٰ ان ایکچوئل فیکٹ میک آور ہارٹس دی آؤ سی دی شائننگ لیمپس in the court of his beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May our hearts also start shining as we have listened to a beautiful kalam now, and in the maqta and in the last couplet of the kalam, Mulana Mustafa Raza Khan very beautifully says, and he is speaking about himself, he's making a dua in the court, of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, an iltija, a request, and a dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he is saying that, you know, abad ise farma virahe dile nuri, the heart of Mustafa Reza, of Nuri, of my heart is deserted. It's an empty place, a barren land. Abad ise farma, O beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, make This heart occupied. Jalwe tere bas jaye abad ho virana, and may your beautiful glimpses, your beautiful appearances, your beautiful jalwa, your beautiful everything come in my beautiful heart, in my wonderful heart, in my deserted heart, and it will make it, you know, fruitful and excellent. Subhanallah. And then he says, when the dua is accepted, then he says, Sarkar ke jalwo se roshan hai dile nuri ta hashr rahe. Roshan Nuri ka ek ashana, that you know, alhamdulillah, with the mubarak glimpses of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, my heart has become enlightened and bright and radiant, alhamdulillah. And we make dua that through this, or in this situation, my heart must, you know, always remain radiant, and it should always gain this beautiful light from Medina and from the court of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we make dua that through these great personalities, may our hearts also become enlightened. May our hearts become illuminated with the love of the beloved and most noble Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen, ameen, ameen. Munasab, coming towards you once again. Before the break, you left us with some very, very beautiful words in which the beloved awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's andaz and way and practice of performing salah, you mentioned of Sayyidina Hatim Asam rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, and his way and his adab, his manner, his etiquette, his style of performing salah, you know, where he has all of these imaginations of Jannat, Jahannam, Malikul Maut, and all of these kind of things. And you did mention that it is one of the ways of increasing the khushu, the humility, the humbleness, and you know, increasing the perfection of performing salah in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Munasab, you did mention that it is very important and it is necessary. But let's say a person performs the faraid of the salah, he performs the wajibat, the conditions are found, right? But these extra things where, you know, if he does it, he will get sawab, if he doesn't do it, he won't get any sin. If a person performs salah in that way, then what's the harm? If a person does all the necessary things, but he doesn't do all, I would say, the extra things, you know, in inverted commas, then don't you feel that that is enough for a person's ibadah to be complete?
There are two things, Afsab. One is for the first to be done.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that to perform that farz in a kamil and complete way.
Yeah.
If a person performs salah at home, while the jamaat is wajib upon him, so farziyat will be done.
Right.
His farz will be done. He will not be considered as not performing salah or doing it qaza.
Right.
His farz is done, but it is not done in a complete and proper way.
Right.
Likewise, you know, if a person performs salah and does qiraat, recites the Holy Quran in salah, so farziyat is done. But he did not perform it in a kamil and complete way, the way Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed. You know, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is our role model. Whenever we perform any kind of ibadat, who we must look at, who we must learn from, is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he used to perform salah, so it is mentioned that the jalsa of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the sajda of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to be almost equal. He used to take almost equal time for jalsa and sajda. It doesn't mean that jalsa used to be exactly equal to the amount of sajda, because sajda takes little long, because you perform you recite three tasbihat, and Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to actually prolong his sajdas. Yeah. He used to recite more tasbihat, but it means that his sajda, I mean his jalsa, used to be kamil. And when people perform salah, you also might have seen that their commas are not proper, their jalsas are not proper. Yeah. You know, if what happens actually, if a person completes his wudu in 30 seconds or in 1 minute, his wudu will not be done because he didn't take care of certain parts of body. You know, normally what happens, that Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in one hadith epoch that wailul lil aqabi minan nar, there is destruction for the heels. There is destruction
for the heels.
Aqab means heels. What does it mean? It means that if a person does not take care of his heels while making wudu and they remain dry, so his wudu is not going to be valid.
Right.
Because washing feet is farz in wudu, and if his heels remain dry, then his wudu is not, you know, complete and not valid. If his wudu is not valid, then his salah is not valid. And if his salah is not valid, then obviously there is wail and destruction for this person. So Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam is our role model. We will have to look at the salah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we will have to look at the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as how Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us to perform namaz. When once Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam was present in Masjid Nabawi Sharif, so a person came and performed salah. After performing salah, he went to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He greeted him. Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam responded to his salam. And after that, Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Go back and perform your salah again because you have not yet performed your salah."
Ji.
That person went back and performed the salah again.
Ji.
He came back again. He greeted Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam responded to his salam, and then after that, he repeated the same thing. Go back and perform your salah again because you have not yet performed your salah.
Right.
It happened 2 times, and when third time he said, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, teach me the method of salah because I don't know the method of salah better than this. This is the only way I do perform salah every day." Then Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught him the method and said that when you stand in the bargah of Almighty Allah, when you perform your salah and when you perform ruku, you perform your ruku with calmness. When you stand from ruku, you are standing in the position of qama, your qama should also be done with calmness. Satisfaction. You know, ta'adil-e arkan is wajib in salah.
Right.
Normally what happens, people, they go to the masjid, and they just go, you know, few minutes before the jamaat starts. First, you know, they rush to the toilet, wudu khana, and they, you know, they finish their wudu, you know, in 1 minute, and then they run to the masjid while the drops of water are falling on the floor of the masjid, which is not valid. Their sleeves are not down, their sleeves are up. That is also not, you know, not, it is makruh actually if you perform salah while your sleeves are folded. So, you know, what happens that they finally reach the masjid and they, you know, succeed to find the jamaat. They miss the first rakat, they miss the second rakat, they miss the third rakat, maybe the fourth rakat as well. They, you know, they succeed to join Imam Sahib in tashahud.
Right.
Then what happens that when they are performing salah at the same time, while performing salah, they sort out their businesses as well. They try to sort out the matters of their families. So that's how they perform salah. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam is teaching his sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu that when you perform your salah, when you are in state of ruku, you must perform it with calmness. Your qama must be kamil, your jalsa must be kamil, your sajda must be kamil, your ruku must be kamil. If you perform salah like that, then what will happen? Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in one hadith epoch that when a person performs kamil wudu and he performs salah with khushu, with humility, with humbleness, performs complete ruku, complete sajda, qama is kamil, jalsa is kamil, qiraat is kamil, everything is kamil, he concentrates in salah, his focus is Almighty Allah, you know, when he performs salah, he considers himself that he is present in the bargah of Almighty Allah. When a person performs salah like that, so what Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam says about him, that when a person performs salah like that, after he finishes salah, his salah becomes bright. And then that salah makes dua for this person O the person who performed me, may Almighty Allah protect you as you have protected me.
Subhanallah.
And if his salah is not kamil, his ablution is not kamil, his wuzu, his salah is not kamil, he doesn't take care of khushu and khudu, he doesn't take care of his ruku and sujood, qama and jalsa, he just, you know, comes and reads subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, that is also maybe not, he doesn't know the proper recitation of the Holy Quran, proper, you know, recitation of Quran-e-Pak with tarteel and tajweed, but he just reads for the sake of reading. If your salah is not kamil, his wuzu is not kamil. So Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that salah makes dua in the bargah of Almighty Allah. Actually, salah makes bad dua for this person. That may Almighty Allah destroy you as you have destroyed me. This shows how important is to perform salah with khushu and khudu. Yes, sometime farziyat will be done, but with khushu and khudu. And if there is no khushu and khudu in salah, there is no humility in salah, there is no, you know, sweetness in your salah, you don't feel the sweetness of salah or the ibadat of Almighty Allah, and your salah is not kamil, your salah makes baddua for you. This person says that I perform salah every day and still, you know, my problems are not sorted. How your problems will be sorted, problems will be solved, while when you finish your salah makes bad dua for you, that may Almighty Allah destroy you as you have destroyed me. So performing salah with khushu and khudu, according to the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is very, very necessary. Then only a person will feel the sweetness of the ibadat of Almighty Allah. Then only a person, you know, would like to go to the masjid. Actually, when he will come back to the masjid, he will leave his heart in the masjid. He will be waiting for the next salah because he has achieved, I mean, he has felt the sweetness of salah. So even if he leaves the masjid, goes back to run his business, goes back to his home, but his heart stays there because he wants to come back to present himself in the bargah of Almighty Allah.
Subhanallah.
That when a person will achieve this, when a person will get this sweetness, when he will perform with khushu and khudu, with full concentration.
Subhanallah.
People, when they stand in the bargah of Almighty Allah, they don't concentrate. They look, you know, here and there. Their eyes don't stay on the place of sajda when they are in state of qiyam. Their gaze does not, you know, stay on the place of sajda. Likewise, you know, what Shariat tells us. When you, this is actually a zahiri adab of salah. That when you are in state of qiyam, your gaze must be on the place of sajda. When you are in state of ruku, your sight should be on your toes. When you are in state of sajda, your gaze must be on your nose.
Right.
When you are in state of qama, when you stand from ruku, your gaze must be on your chest. When you look at your toes, you must think that my soul will start coming out from my toes, from my feet. When you look at your nose while you are in state of sajda, you must think that my soul will, you know, leave my body and it will come out from my nose.
Allah.
If you perform your salah like that, while considering your salah as your last salah of your life, then you will not, you know, think of your businesses while performing salah. Many people, you know, they try to sort out all of their matters, all of their problems in salah. That's why, you know, they don't feel the sweetness of salah. They don't enjoy it actually. So how will you enjoy it? When you perform it with the zahiri and batini adab and etiquettes and manners.
Subhanallah.
Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one more hadith is coming in my mind. He says that when a person performs salah, he stands in the bargah of Almighty Allah, he's under the mercy of Almighty Allah. The mercy of Almighty Allah keeps descending upon him as long as he does not look here and there. And if he looks here and there, then the mercy of Almighty Allah turns away from him.
Allahu Subhanallah, beautiful Munasab. Jazakallah for those beautiful words. and indeed thought-provoking words, words which need to really boost us of how to perform the ibadat in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, Munasab mentions some beautiful aspects that yes, the fardiyat is completed, the necessitation is done, the obligation is fulfilled, but the sweetness is not there, the blessings is not there, the barakah is not there. And that will only be when we follow every sunnah of the beloved Rasul, every mustahab, every nafil, every basically everything till the last nail is done. Everything is done beautifully. Then, subhanAllah, you will start feeling the sweetness.
Hazrat Rabia Basri, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayha, she was a great waliya of Almighty.
Subhanallah.
She spent her entire life in the worship of Almighty Allah.
Yeah.
Once she was performing salah, and while performing salah, a small piece, thin piece of the mat stuck in her eye. But she did not realize it because she was present in the bargah of Almighty Allah. After she finished her salah, then you know she felt some pain in her eye. She asked someone to check. So when someone looked, someone checked her eye, so he told her that your eye is already injured. And how you did not feel it while you when you were performing salah, because there is a small thin piece of mat which is stuck in your eye. So we should try to perform salah like that.
Inshallah. Before we move to our conclusion, we will quickly take a short break, listen to some few beautiful Madani pearls, and as soon as we return, we will conclude our discussion for today. Be with us for these last few minutes, inshallah, after this short break. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Respected viewers of Madani Channel, I would like to discuss one of the beautiful titles of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, being Amin, subhanallah. And he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is a symbol of trustworthiness. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was unparalleled and distinguished in his trustworthiness. Even before announcing the prophethood, he was hailed as the trustworthy one. Ameen. When he alayhi salatu wasalam started calling towards Islam, the Roman emperor asked the Quraysh, who was staunchly against Islam, and they were enemies of Muslims and of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but they could not hide this clear, beautiful attribute of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and yet they described Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being trustworthy. And this same quality of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was mentioned by the companion Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala an, when he met the king in Abyssinia. The disbelievers of Makkah were severe enemies of the final prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yet they would keep their valuables with him. Such was his trustworthiness. When he alayhi salatu wasalam migrated from Makkah to Medina, that time he gave Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala and the responsibility of returning these trusts to their owners. Can you find any example, any precedent of such trustworthiness? The people who are after the life of a personality, but he's still thinking about the amana, which the valuables which were kept as a trust. Allahu Akbar. And Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam is giving responsibility to Mawla Ali Mishkil Kushakar Ramallahu ta'ala wajahul kareem, that you should return the interests of the owners and then you can come to Medina. History cannot find any such example the way Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam's personality is, character is, and this beautiful quality of being Amin is. And this is what we need to follow. We need to follow the footsteps of Abul Aka Kareem alayhi salatu wasalam, our master Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, being the ambassadors of Islam, being believers, being the followers of As-Sadiq and Al-Amin. We should also become trustworthy. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Mashallah, mashallah, marhaba. Welcome back to our silsila. And very beautifully, we were discussing the topic of what are the, or how to gain the internal and external adab and etiquettes of salah very beautifully. Our guest, Mulana Asif Madani Sahab, before the break, he mentioned with regards to how important it is to focus on those things which we don't consider important, al-a'adhu billah, but those things which are very, very important, you know, the sunnah of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Likewise, the extra things, the extra plus points basically in your namaz, in your salah, and the khushu, the khudu, those things which will help build your humility in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to pay attention to those things, and with that, inshallah, our salah will be rectified, our salah will become perfect. When the salah is perfect, then as Munasab did mention and quoted a very beautiful ayah of the Holy Quran, that inna salata tanha anil fahshai wal munkar, that inshallah, when we have this perfect salah, the salah will start saving us from evil, from problems, from difficulties, from bad things. You know, we will start becoming good people, and inshallah azza wa jal, you will find the blessings and the barakah in this world and in the hereafter as well. There are a few points which everyone must keep in mind, you know, when how to adopt this khushu and this humbleness. It's many points, you know, a few points which you must keep in front of you is if you are hungry, if you are thirsty, if you need to go to the washroom, if you know, there is something like this, some need, then please take that need away. It means fulfill that need first, go to the washroom, eat something, drink something, and then come in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, try your level best to make sure that when you are there, your mind is not wandering anywhere else, and make sure that you are performing salah wholeheartedly, and you have removed all the obstacles which can be an obstacle between you and the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And inshallah, we make dua that if everyone does this, acts upon this, then you will see the blessings in this world and in the hereafter. Munawwar Sahib, jazakallah so much for your wonderful words of wisdom today. We hope that first and foremost, myself and our viewers and listeners act upon whatever we have learned today. May Allah Ta'ala include our names amongst those fortunate people who perform salah wholeheartedly. May Allah Ta'ala inshallah include our names in the list of those fortunate people who will go for Hajj in the coming years. Inshallah, our names, our parents' names, our Murshid Kareem, our relatives, may all of us go in the court of His beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Unke to fail Hajj bhi Khuda ne kara diye, asle murad hazri us paak dar ki hai. Remember, instill the love of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in your hearts, in your mind. This love of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the base of your iman, the base of everything. You have this love by Allah, you have everything. You lose this love by Allah, you lose everything. We hope to see you inshallah in our next episode of The Light of Guidance. Till then, be positive, think positive, stay positive, remain positive. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Salli wa al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
The Light of Guidance, 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 The Light of Guidance.